Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture. You've made it to the right place. If you want to get some politics, some culture, and personal development, put it all up in a blender and then have it spit out a special delivery of underdog stuff. You know, the uns, the unavoidable, the unpredictable, the unconventional, the underrated, the unsaid, the uninhibited, the unbelievable. You get it by now. Underdog stuff. And you can go to CNN for those who lean to the left. You can go to Fox News for those of you that lean to the right. And they can cover the news. They might even commentate on it. But around here, we get personal about it. And to take you on that journey every week, you have your host, Gregory Neesmith, entrepreneur, content creator, consultant and coach, political commentator from time to time, activist, and overall, just into spreading special stuff. And grateful that I get to hopefully spread some special stuff for the next 2 hours with you, as we do here every week from noon to 2 p.m. on WHCR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem. Shout out to all the underdogs and my people going on the journey. It's a live show. It's also a podcast. So if you should miss any of today's show, it's all good. The podcast will be out on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Google Play, all the places you love to listen to podcasts. Episodes will be out on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Appreciate the folks who love to listen and download the podcast. Today's theme, a couple things has been on my mind. Valentine's Day has been on my mind. This February, we're going to talk about it. The idea of either or, this or that, this one or that one, has been on my mind. And duopolies have been on my mind. And somehow, over the next 2 hours, we'll make it all make sense. Valentine's Day, duopolies, and the idea of either or. With that, let's kick into the show. And I actually want to start it off with this.
If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right.
Dr. Martin Luther King, one of the great Americans of all time, and one of the great Black Americans of all time. You know, I wish that every day was like the weekend. Weekends are cool, right? They're time for hopefully recharging. They're time for I look to get some work done, run some errands. You know, balance. I get to do my radio show. I wish that I could live every day, all 7 days a week, with the responsibility, with the balance that I often live on the weekends. Valentine's Day is coming up. And a lot of folks start to get all dismissive, get very, very bit uppity, not, you know, in a way of like, I don't need to be told to tell someone I love them. I love my loved ones 365 days of the year. I don't need Valentine's Day. It's man-made. It's commercial. Forcing me to spend money on chocolates and flowers. Mother's Day. You ever have people in your life? Mother's Day is BS. Don't tell me when I need to show my mother love. I love her all the time, year round. I don't need reminders. Well, guess what? You sound crazy. Because I don't know about you, but I'm no robot. I wish that I could live Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, as if each day was the weekend and I had all the balance and range of spending time with family, getting work done, working out. I wish that I could live like every day was the weekend. And while I strive to love my loved ones 365 days a year, there's days when I'm mad, days when I'm sad, days when I'm just focused on me. And I don't always actually love my loved ones as well as I should every day. And so what I've learned to do is not get so mad at these holidays. Or not get so mad at the weekends. Because what I've learned is there are triggers. The weekend triggers in my mind that if I haven't taken care of myself Monday through Friday, that here's an opportunity to do it on Saturday and Sunday. While I love my loved ones, it's special when one of them has a birthday because I get to celebrate them. My mom may know that I love her, but on Mother's Day, I get to say it one more time. Say it with emphasis to really acknowledge her and show my appreciation for her. So for all y'all hating on Mother's Day, Valentine's Day, the weekend celebrations, I say to you, stop it. Embrace it. Because people like to be acknowledged and celebrate it. So guess what I'm going to do? I hear you, underdogs. I know that Black history is America's history. I know America's history is Black history. I know that we get to celebrate how special we are. And you know I'm all about rediscovering how special we are in the world, especially underdogs. And the Black American has been one of the groups that has had the odds stacked against them. And so while I know we get to celebrate each other 365 days of the year, I'm not mad and I'm not going to fight with the fact that we get an opportunity to do what we do on the weekends, to do what we do with Mother's Day, to do what we do on birthdays. And that's give an extra special shout out of appreciation and acknowledgement. So as a result, we're not going to step over the fact that it's February. And it's Black History Month. And so I'm going to take a little bit of time today before we dive into the rest of the show and talk about Black History Month. Because I can, because I should, and we are. With that, let me take a pause because I think I might have a caller on the line. Do we have a caller on the line? Name where you're calling from.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, all right. Hey, that was real good, man. That was Wow, that was, man, you ought to be on stage with that one. It gave me a chance to look at something else because, yes, I think so. Yeah, you might be right. These annual acknowledgments do have this place because all year round, sure, we have, you know, our loved ones and acknowledgments for certain stuff. But you have these annual acknowledgments gives it almost like a celebratory, you know, significance. And I think, yes, it does have its place. You know, and I like the way you presented it because you gave me a chance to look at it that way. Because I'm one of those where it's like all year round I'm doing it. As a matter of fact, as far as the Black History Month, you know, it's coming, it's like I like to give acknowledgement to the supporters of these leaders. In other words, you have Ella Baker, Dr. Martin, you know, you have, it goes Marcus Garvey, it goes on and on and on. These are leaders that's renowned for some causes. At the same time, it seems like the supporters, the soldiers, the foot soldiers, those that was around protecting those, is what I really would like to acknowledge these days.
Hey, and I appreciate that. One of the things that I'm going to ask folks to do throughout today's show is shout out anyone, well, not just anyone, Black Americans either still with us or that have passed away that they may want to shout out. And actually, definitely a bit of an emphasis on those that are still living with us, because sometimes I don't think we get appreciated enough until, unfortunately, we are gone.
That's why I'm saying that. Because a lot of those that was doing the footwork, stand up at night, protecting the minister, Minister Farrakhan, stand up protecting Dr. Martin Luther King, protecting them while they sleep. They had to stay awake. They had to, you know, soldier. They had to stay on post. And you still have those around today. I gave acknowledgement for years, decades, for those leaders. These days, today, I really want to give extra acknowledgement for those who soldiers, males, females alike. Because Angela Davis, if you notice, she has some female foot soldiers that really turned the tide of her cause. And today, we don't even know half of the names of those people.
Yes.
And so I just want to give an acknowledgement. If there are many of them are alive. Some of them may be ambulatory. Some of them may be in homes. And I just want to salute them while they're here. Or if they're not here, salute them, because these are the ones that kept these leaders alive, my brother.
Yes, indeed. And I appreciate you calling in and telling that. And what I'm going to do next is actually take folks through a little bit of the history of Black History Month and allow folks to call in and do what you just did, which is acknowledge someone who's done something and created Black history. And I love that you wanted to shout out folks that are still here, because don't get mad at these holidays. They're opportunities for us to acknowledge and appreciate those, especially those that are still with us. Hey, man, I appreciate you calling in, and please,
right,
don't let it
good,
be the last time.
Keep up the good work.
All right, now, appreciate you. I love that the caller shouted out what I call sometimes are the folks that are working behind the scenes. There's folks we see on the stage, and then there's all the people backstage. And both are just important, right? It can't run without everyone who puts stuff together. So shout out to all the folks who have supported the Dr. Martin Luther Kings, the folks who have supported the Marcus Garveys. Those folks didn't do it alone. They had teams. They had people that they counted on. And I appreciate them. I appreciate the caller. All right. The history of Black History Month. It began in 1926 as Negro History Week by Carter G. Woodson. And then eventually it morphed into a month-long celebration of the achievements made by African and African Americans at a time to recognize their role that they played in U.S. history. As I've been saying, American history and Black history, they are tied together. And 42 years ago, President Ford made it official that the United States would recognize Black History Month. And also, it is a celebration that happens around the world in many countries, too. And every year, the President of the United States chooses a theme for Black History Month. Yeah, so that means number 45, Donald Trump has chosen a theme for Black History Month for 2018. Drum roll, please. Do you know what the theme for Black History Month that's come out of the White House for 2018 is? This year's theme is African Americans in times of war. Damn. I wanna embrace the theme. I want to. But of all the things he could have chose, I hate when Republicans who always seem to be beating the path to war. And I know he's all about veterans and standing for the flag. And I'm frustrated. The Twitter in chief picked African-Americans at a time of war, probably to perpetuate his own agenda. We got the stuff with North Korea going on. All right, let me keep going. Let me catch my breath here. This year, Trump hasn't tweeted anything about Black History Month, but he did issue a proclamation that could be found online. His daughter, Ivanka, did tweet about Black History Month. So that sounds good, right? Trump's making sure they acknowledge African Americans. But as you can probably guess, it probably didn't go well. Ivanka Trump tweeted, "During Black History Month, we celebrate heroes like Harriet Tubman, Rosa Parks, and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And we resolve to continue to bring greater equality, dignity, and opportunity to all Americans, regardless of race or background." You ever, and this is a rhetorical question because I actually think I know the answer to the question I'm about to ask you, but I'm going to ask you anyway. You ever been to a birthday party that's to celebrate a specific person's birthday? And would you walk up in the birthday and go, "Happy birthday. And we're here to party today for all the people in the world who have birthdays." That's kind of like what Ivanka Trump just said. "We're going to celebrate all the Black Americans. Actually, by the way, let's celebrate all Americans." There's a time and place for that. This wasn't the time. That wasn't the place. But I'm not going to let 45 rain on the parade. I'm not going to let the haters who hate weekends, the haters who hate Mother's Day, the haters who hate Valentine's Day. You're not a robot. I'm not a robot. I strive to do things 365 days of the year, but that's not the case. I don't always love my loved ones the way I should. The sun ain't always out. Sometimes it rains. And having myself or you or people in our lives feel appreciated, to be celebrated, means something. You know, they talk about happiness is something money can't buy. Oftentimes experiences, relationships, connection is what gives us the opportunity to choose being happy. And when we skip over opportunities like the weekends, when we skip over opportunities like Mother's Day, when we skip over opportunities like Black History Month, we miss the opportunity to fellowship together, to hang out together, to have shared experiences together. I'm not skipping over it. I know Black History Month should be 365 days a year, but right now we're celebrating this month. And even though I feel like Trump has an ulterior motive by choosing African Americans at times of war as the theme for Black History Month, I'll play along because this shout out ain't for him. It's for the Black Americans who fought in many wars for other people's freedoms, even though when they would come back home here to America, they weren't free. So shout out to folks like the Tuskegee Airmen, the first African-American airman to serve in the U.S. Army Air Corps, now known as the Air Force. This was during World War II. They earned over 150 Distinguished Flying Crosses, and they helped encourage the integration of the U.S. Armed Forces. Because up until then, sadly, it was thought that African-Americans weren't smart enough to operate aircraft. And the reason why they're called the Tuskegee Airmen is because they train at the Tuskegee Army Airfield in Alabama and will become one of the most historic teams or figures in the military and in overall American history. So I'll play along with the theme of African Americans at War, which is a theme that Donald Trump chose for Black History Month. But I'm not playing along for Donald. I'm playing along to shout out all the folks, Black Americans, who fought for a country that still at times was struggling to fight for them. And a special shout out to all my family members who have served in the military. I appreciate you. It's crazy, right? World War II, Tuskegee Airmen out there fighting for freedoms around the world, and then would come home to Jim Crow and legal segregation. I appreciate you, and I know the other underdogs appreciate you too. With that, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're still going to get into some politics. We're still going to get into some other stuff, but right now, we're going to take our time and talk a little Black history. This is a special delivery of underdog stuff. And like I said before, there's different groups out there that are underdogs. I think kids are underdogs, right? Because they have to unlearn all the silliness and foolishness that us as adults do. Even though we're doing the best we can, we still make it hard to come up as a kid. Women, big underdog group, regardless of race, living in a patriarchal society, always having to defend your bodies and your rights and your pay. In business, there's underdogs out there. You know, I have a soft spot for entrepreneurs, people who are doing startups, because you're taking on big established companies, trying to make your way and oftentimes make a way to do something that you love, to do something that creates jobs for people in your community. Those are underdogs too. And then, of course, the Black American has had the odds stacked against them since the day we were forced to come over here. And I'm all about us rediscovering how special we are. It's one of the reasons why I do this show and some of the stuff I do off the mic. We can talk about the news that President Trump wants to honor African Americans at times of war. But, you know, we get personal about it here. So throughout the show, if you want to call in and shout out a Black American that from the past or from the present that you want to celebrate and acknowledge, it's all right to do it here today at 212-650-6903. That's 212-650-6903. I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to check the Facebook Live also at facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith. And we'll be back with more of the Gregory Neesmith Show. Let's get personal about the news and the culture. More after this break. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture. We put politics, we put culture, we put personal development in a blender, mix it all up, and it spits out a special delivery of underdog stuff. Shout out to all the underdogs going on the journey today. Appreciate the caller who was reminding us that we get to acknowledge not just the popular figures in history, but also those who were working behind the scenes to make it all go. Also, I kicked off the show talking about the fact that I personally at times have said things like Valentine's Day is a commercial day, is made up, forcing me to buy balloons and flowers and chocolates. Mother's Day, it's the man, it's capitalism, making me send my mom flowers. The weekend, forget a weekend, every day should be like Saturday and Sunday. Black history, why is it only got to be 28 days, the shortest month of the year? That's messed up. We should be celebrating 365 days of the year. Well, guess what? I'm not a robot. And as much as I strive to love my loved ones every day, as much as I strive to have balance Monday through Friday in my work week, I fall down. I overwork myself. I have periods of being sad and at times caring more about myself than being able to go out and care for others. And so I've learned to embrace these triggers, these moments, like Mother's Day, like Valentine's Day, like Black History Month. Because what I've learned is I think you too, because the truth is you too, like to be acknowledged, like to be celebrated, like to be appreciated. And so I'm not going to step over the fact that it's Black History Month. And this is a show for underdogs and my people. And we're going to acknowledge and appreciate the contributions of Black Americans to this country and not get all mad about it. And later this month, you get to show your love to your loved ones on Valentine's Day. And then after that, make sure you show some love to your mom, Mother's Day, Father's Day. They're all just opportunities. The weekend, it's just an opportunity. With that, shout out to Gladys, who says, the shirt is everything. She's talking about, I got on a shirt that says, we out. Signed, Harriet Tubman. Shout out to my cuz, Darren. Hello, man. Appreciate you. A lot of love for you. Happy birthday, too. I know your birthday was recently. And shout out to Richard. He says, hey, buddy, and happy Sunday. Shout out to Richard. Richard and I have some aspirations to do stuff in, be multimedia, not just radio, but do some TV, some cable TV, some other stuff. And we met through some work we were doing at the Manhattan Neighborhood Network, which is the public access cable TV station in Manhattan. Appreciate you. We're going to get to some politics. There was a memo released on Friday related to this whole Russia stuff, collusion, colliding, collisions, Trump, Putin, elections. We'll get to that. But like I said, I want to talk about Valentine's Day / weekends, either or, and duopolies, and we'll make it all make sense before we get out of here at 2 o'clock. But I'm not done with Black History Month yet. It is Super Bowl Sunday. And it's reported that probably over 100 million people, households, will watch the game. I know there's been a lot of people who have opted out of watching football because they are taking a stand against the fact that the NFL refuses to employ Colin Kaepernick after he took a knee to take a stand for equality in policing and in the justice system, and specifically for Black Americans. And I know that it has been a very heated debate about patriotism, about free speech, about protesting. As MLK said, you know, we're still striving to have what's on that paper, Constitution, Declaration of Independence, still come to life. Still striving for that.
There will be neither rest nor tranquility in America until the Negro is granted his citizenship rights. The whirlwinds of revolt will continue to shake the foundations of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. But that is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads into the palace of justice. In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred.
I may still be a bit bitter, but I am grateful for Colin Kaepernick taking his stand. And for those who are choosing not to watch the Super Bowl and any football, I ain't mad at you. But I would like to not only acknowledge and celebrate Colin Kaepernick, but in the spirit of Black History Month in football, there is someone I do want to acknowledge and celebrate. And that's Dougie Williams. And I'll do that in a second and explain to you who that is after we take this phone call. Name and where you calling from.
Hello.
Hello. Name and where you calling from.
Gregory.
Yes.
This is Deborah from
Hey, Deborah, you're cutting in and out, but I...
I know. It wasn't you. It wasn't you.
Well, go ahead. So I think I got you. First of all,
yeah, you
hello,
do.
And thank you for calling. Talk
okay.
to me.
I wanted to... Dr. Mae Jameson.
Yes.
First Black female astronaut.
Yes.
She has done so much more other than, you know, become an astronaut prior to that. And I watched her one night on television, and she was on C-SPAN years ago, and she talked about how her parents encouraged her once she wanted to become a doctor, and her first laboratory was her kitchen. Mm. So I was just riveted by listening to her because she didn't make it appear as if it was just so difficult, so hard. She was just very, you know, very happy about what she was doing because she liked what she was doing. And she made, if you were interested in that particular area, you know, she made you feel like, you know, maybe I can take a look into this and see whether or not this is something I would like to do. So she's traveled all over the world, and she's worked here, and, you know, she's just, I just think she's great. And also, there's another doctor named Dr. Patricia Bass.
Patricia Bass, you said?
Bass.
Bass, okay.
B-A-T-H.
B-A-T-H.
And I think she originally lived here in Harlem with her parents.
Mm-hmm.
But she invented, I think, I'm going to, contact lenses. I know it had something to do with the eyes.
Okay.
And I had to do some research for someone, and that's when it came up. So you might want to take a look and see just how many more inventions she has.
Yeah, say both those names so folks can hear them again. Both doctors that you
shouted
yes. out. It was, the first doctor was?
And they're still here. They're not dead.
Yes. And which you and now another caller, which I love, is it's obviously awesome to celebrate our history of those who have come before us, but it's also special to still acknowledge the folks who are still around.
Yeah, and you know what would be great? if you could find them and have someone come on and you could talk to them.
No, hey, and this is a show for underdogs, and I love talking to them. And so say their names one more time. I got Patricia Bath and the other.
Bath, like B-A-T-H.
Yep.
And Mae Jamison, M-A-E. J-A-M-I-S-O-N.
Got it. Mae Jamison. Doctor. Oh, my bad. Dr. Mae Jamison.
Doctor. Both of them are doctors. Medical Bath. Doctor.
That's awesome. I appreciate it. That's what we want to do today, too, which is if folks want to call in and shout out some folks who've been Black Americans making history, and especially those who are still with us.
Yes.
We're going to do that all month long.
Okay.
I appreciate you, Deborah.
Have a good day.
All right. You too. That was Deborah from Manhattan. She also made a point that I think is a very good one. Oftentimes in literature or in arts and entertainment, they talk about the window versus the mirror. The mirror and the window. And oftentimes the window is seen as a story where I can look at it and I can see experiences or see things that may not personally relate to me, but I get to see about stuff that's going on in the world. It gives me exposure. And then there's things that I consume. There's literature, there's books, there's movies, there's shows where it's a mirror, where I see someone that I have a shared experience with. They may look like me. They may be telling the story of someone who grew up where I'm growing up. And the mirror is just as valuable and sometimes more valuable than the window. And when Deborah mentioned that the two doctors that she shouted out often gave people the inspiration to be like, oh, maybe I can do that too. You get the mirror effect where you're like, I look like that woman. That woman reminds me of my mom or my aunt. I can go out and be a doctor too. Shout out to all the folks who are doing stuff where even though you may not be attempting to be inspiration or be a mirror for folks, just know that the kids are watching. And every time you make something happen, like becoming a doctor, like Dr. Jamison or Dr. Bath, that there's other people who may look like you or have your experience that now look in the mirror and go, I can do it too. And there was a man who did that back in 1988. On January 31st, because up until Doug Williams playing for the Washington team in the NFL, until he directed the greatest offensive performance during a single quarter in NFL postseason history, putting up 35 points in one quarter against the Denver Broncos, who him leading the way for Washington would defeat the Denver Broncos 42-10 in the Super Bowl back in 1988. Why is it a big deal? Why is it a mirror? Because Doug Williams will become the first African-American quarterback to start and win a Super Bowl. And he will become the first African-American to be chosen to be the game's MVP. And why was it a big deal? Because at the time, there were a lot of people that thought a black man could not be a quarterback because they lacked the intelligence and the skill to be not only good football players, but to be the signal caller, to be the lead of a team. And what Doug Williams did for a lot of athletes, and I'm sure even athletes like Colin Kaepernick, is what Deborah alluded to when she talked about Dr. Mae Jamison and Dr. Patricia Babb, is that Doug Williams became a mirror for athletes, and especially black ones, that said, you don't have to be a running back or a wide receiver. You can be a quarterback and not just be one, but be historic and lead a team to the biggest accomplishment in its respective sport, and that is to be a champion. Shout out to Doug Williams.
I think for me, going to the Super Bowl and getting the opportunity to play is some of the dream that Martin Luther King is talking about. Not so much black and white, but the fact as an individual, as a person, and no matter who you are, what color you are, just get that same opportunity that everybody else gets.
Shout out to Doug Williams, and he references Martin Luther King. So, of course, I'm going to give a quick shout out to Martin Luther King after this break. And then we're going to continue with more of the Gregory Neesmith Show. Let's get personal about the news and the culture. More of your phone calls at area code 212-650-6903. That's 212-650-6903. And more of your comments on Facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith. GREGORYNESMITH. You can go to CNN if you want to get the news. You can go to Fox News if you want to get the news. You can go to MSNBC if you want to get commentary. But here, we get personal about the news and the culture. More of the Gregory Neesmith Show, your phone calls, and your comments after this quick break. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show. Let's get personal about the news and the culture. We put politics, culture, personal development in a blender, mix it all up, and it spits out a special delivery of underdog stuff. The uns, the unavoidable, the unsaid, the uninhibited, the underrated, the unjust, unbelievable underdog stuff. Grateful to go on this journey with you every Sunday from noon to 2 p.m. And for those who aren't able to listen live, grateful to go on the journey with you on the podcast, which comes out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on iTunes, Podomatic, Google Play, Stitcher, Lively Play Podcast Network. There's also a video of the show on YouTube and on Tashima Jones Media TV. Shout out to all the places that carry the show. But shout out first and foremost to
Mic check, mic check.
Keep it locked on WHCR 90.3 FM.
Okay.
New York.
Yeah, shout out first and foremost to the home of the Gregory Neesmith Show, and that is WHCR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem. Shout out to all the folks in Harlem, to the underdogs in New York City and around the world. We do this every weekend and throughout the week. Today's show, we've been talking about weekends, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, all these holidays. I ain't mad at them no more. I embrace them. Because there's opportunity to celebrate and appreciate and acknowledge folks. And while I know Black History Month, or Black History, I should say, is 365 days of the year, I get that, and I should love my mom 365 days of the year. I should love my loved ones 365 days of the year. I shouldn't treat the weekdays any different than the weekends. I should be balanced and centered as if I'm the Zen master Monday all the way through Sunday. But that ain't the case. I'm not that good. I'm not that consistent. I'm not a robot. And so I appreciate there being opportunities out there, reminders, like the weekend, for me to take a deep breath. Moments like Valentine's Day where I get to show up and show out, give some appreciation to my loved ones. Birthdays. Could you imagine if we lived in a world where we're like, oh, no, bro. I ain't celebrating your birthday. You know, I celebrate you 365 days of the year. Stop it. We going to celebrate this Black History Month till the wheels fall off. With that, we just played Doug Williams. It's Super Bowl Sunday. I'm not oblivious to the fact that there's football going on. I may not be watching it, but that doesn't mean there hasn't been things that have been historic and African-Americans to celebrate. I'm celebrating Colin Kaepernick. I'm also celebrating Dougie Williams. Back in 1988, time to set it straight. Ain't no half-stepping. That's when he won the Super Bowl. Can you believe, I still, talk about rediscovering how special we are in the world. I just don't understand. They literally thought that Black people didn't have the intellect to play a game called football and play the quarterback position. We knew that wasn't true. I'm so glad that Doug Williams could break through. And then I played a clip from Doug. And one of the people he mentioned was Martin Luther King. So before we move on to some other topics today, you know, why not? I'm going to play a clip from Martin Luther King.
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right.
Speak on it. Shout out to all the folks out there protesting, exercising their First Amendment right. And out here working to make things better and to get this country to live up to being its best self. And some of the words that are on the paper, like all men and women are created equal, that we all have the right to the pursuit of happiness. All right. So we talked weekends. Hopefully now it makes sense why I called it weekends, because, you know, I wanted to show that things like weekends, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, Black History Month, they're triggers. They're opportunities for us to celebrate and acknowledge each other. The other thing I mentioned at the start of the show, I said we're going to talk weekends, then we're going to talk either or, and we're going to talk duopolies. So now let's get into either or and duopolies. You know, I often ask myself the question of, do I want this or do I want that? Should I do what I love or should I do what makes money? Should I live here or should I live there? You know, all versions of either or questions. You can get with this or you can get with that. You can get with this or you can get with that. I think I'll get with this. All right, let me, this isn't the rap hour. Let me stop there. Shout out to Black Sheep. All right. For me, I remember being a kid, and sometimes we get into these conversations. And I remember one of the things that would come up a lot of times is, would you rather be rich or would you rather be happy? And, you know, we'd have debates. Oh, I'd rather be happy, man. Or, yo, I'd rather be rich. Rather be rich and sad than happy and poor. And this was like a real, full-out debate, argument, conversation. Which normally went along with the lines of other questions like, well, what would you do if you won the lottery? Or, you know, what would you happen if this happened? What would you do if that happened? But the crux of it was, would you rather be rich and sad or happy and not a lot of money? And the truth is, I know I can't be the only one who ever had those conversations when I was a kid. Matter of fact, I'm sure you are and I am sometimes having that conversation even as an adult. And I'll never forget one of the first books I read in the space of what we'll call personal development. There's books like Think and Grow Rich, The Highly Effective Habits of Successful People. All those to me are like books in the personal development space that are nonfiction. And then a book that I consider personal development that's in the fiction space would be like The Alchemist. And I'll never forget, I was in my 20s and someone put me onto this book called Secrets of the Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eker. It's a New York and Wall Street Journal bestseller. And it was a book that was basically about two things. It talked about that we all have some type of money blueprint. It suggests that we all learn how to identify, or we all have certain beliefs about money. And also the other part of the book was this idea of there's these things called, or T. Harv Eker called, wealth files, which were described exactly how people who are wealthy, how they think and how they act. And he shared those thoughts so that if folks wanted to, they could change potentially their old money blueprint and create a new one that would help them accumulate abundance and wealth and so forth. And I remember that I wasn't really big into reading, you know, just being transparent. Reading wasn't my thing. I never really enjoyed it as much as watching stuff. So I would prefer to watch a documentary before reading a book. But I love knowledge. I love learning new things. I was the type of person, I'd rather be an apprentice or have an internship than be in a class. I often learn by doing, by soaking stuff up. And when it came to books, what I learned is there's nothing wrong with me for wanting to learn that way, learn by doing. I wasn't a bad person. Turns out, while I may have thought I wasn't that smart, turned out I just learned different than some other people. And so when it came to books, I didn't like to read, but I loved to listen. So I would oftentimes get audiobooks. And one of the first audiobooks I got in my 20s was this book, Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. And I remember listening to what were called the Wealth Files, these 17 different approaches to money and life that oftentimes wealthy people have. And for me, it was talk about mirror versus window, which I talked about earlier. Mirror being you read or you consume things where you have shared experiences from the other person, where you see yourself in their story. And window being like, hey, I ain't never experienced none of that, but that's kind of cool that there's people in the world living, doing, experiencing those things. And I didn't grow up wealthy. So for me, Secrets of the Millionaire Mind was a window. It was like, oh, this is how some people think in the world. This is interesting, man. And so I'm listening to the Wealth Files. Number one would come up. Number two would come up. Number three would come up. And then finally they got to number 12. And number 12 was this idea of both. Just one word. B-O-T-H. One simple, one syllable word, both. And the Wealth File number 12 from Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, Mastering the Inner Game of Wealth by T. Harv Eker, New York Times and Wall Street Journal bestseller. Wealth File number 12 was wealthy people think both. People without a lot of wealth think either or. Wealthy people live in a world of abundance. People without as much wealth live in a world of limitations. People without a lot of wealth believe that they have to choose between money or other aspects of life. People without a lot of wealth often think that money is not as important as other things. And this hit me like a ton of bricks. Because I actually thought that I did have to choose between doing what I love or making money, being happy versus being wealthy. I thought it was an either or. And so mine was blown. I'm like, what? I can actually think both? This is new territory. Crazy. It's cool. But I know I'm not alone. There was a recent poll on freebies.com which asked the question, would you rather be happy or would you rather be rich. And 76% of people said they'd rather be poor and happy as opposed to rich and unhappy. And I'm at the point now where I'm like, that question is silly. It's a question that actually shouldn't even exist. And so I want to talk a little bit about either or. So let's put politics, let's put culture and personal development in this blender right now and spit out a special delivery of underdog stuff. Raise your hand if you're a Democrat. Okay. I know I can't see you, but hopefully you played along and raised your hand. Raise your hand if you're a Republican. All right. Cool. Raise your hand if you're an independent. Cool. Raise your hand if you don't care. Cool. I get it. I ain't mad at you. The system doesn't always inspire us to be a part of it. So if I asked you, which party do you dislike the most? Do you dislike the Republican Party the most? Do you dislike the Democratic Party the most? I have a feeling that Democrats would dislike the Republican Party the most. Republicans would dislike the Democratic Party the most. And independents would dislike whichever party they may have been in before they became an independent. They'll dislike that opposite one the most. Well, according to recent data, as of last year, 25% of Americans are Republicans. 27% of Americans are Democrats. And 46% of Americans are independents. First of all, that information shocked me. That means that just slightly half of Americans are like, yo, I'm not down with either one of these parties, which is interesting. But unfortunately, oftentimes we're in a duopoly. I told you I would make the duopoly thing make sense. I said it earlier in the show. I said we talk weekends, either or, and duopoly. It's time for the duopoly part of the show. Duopoly is when there's a situation where there's two suppliers that dominate the bringing to life of goods and services. So, like I said, it all makes sense in a second. Duopoly is two suppliers dominate the market for a commodity or service. Think Coke and Pepsi. Think a lot of times your cable company situations in your respective cities. Oftentimes, two are entities that kind of lock things down, hold down the fort, keeping out competition. So there was a survey about favorability ratings. How many people favor the Democratic Party? About 38% of Americans. And how many people favor the Republican Party? About 33% of Americans. So most people don't even favor either party. And unfortunately, like I learned when I was reading The Secrets of the Millionaire Mind and this idea of either or, whether you do it or not, it seems like you are not into the either or. It seems like you're in the both. And that both would be that you dislike both parties. And I dislike the duopoly. For me, it's strange that politics is one of the few places we don't like to exercise this whole idea of capitalism and competition. Supposedly, we want free markets. We want everybody in the game. We want to have competitive pricing and supply and demand. Survival of the fittest. Get in, get at it. But yet, in politics, We're like, nah, we just want these two parties to hold it down. You get either or. This or that. Well, I want both. I want both parties to do better. And on top of both, I want abundance and I want more. I want more parties, more competition, more people fighting for the rights of, hey, while we at Black History Month, for Black Americans. I want us as voters to have more choices than just the duopoly of the Republicans and Democrats, because truth be told, which one do I dislike more? I'm going to go back to the idea of both. And I dislike both. And it sounds like, based on polling about favorability ratings, so do you too. But that's politics. And that's cool. But you know, I like to get personal about the news and the culture. So I'm fascinated by still this idea of, would I rather be happy or rather be sad? Would I rather be rich and sad or happy and poor? I can't let go of that without talking about it a little bit more. And I will. It's Sunday, which means it's football, which means I'm still boycotting. But it doesn't mean we can't celebrate some of the African-Americans who've made history in football, like Colin Kaepernick, who I believe history will look upon kindly. Speaking of Martin Luther King, I still have to keep reminding underdogs that in the 60s, 60-something percent of Americans disliked Dr. Martin Luther King. Disliked him. History now knows better. Shout out to Doug Williams. 1988, time to set it straight. Ain't no half-stepping. First African-American quarterback to start a Super Bowl and win it and become MVP. And let folks know that it wasn't true that black folks didn't have the intellect to play a game and play it at a high level and be the leader of a team playing the quarterback position. And shout out to all the protesters, both from the past and today, that are still out there doing this.
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges, because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right.
And we've also been talking about that this theme of either or. This idea of I have to choose this or I have to choose that. And one of the things that comes to mind for me that's been on my mind is this idea of, do I have to still choose between being happy and being wealthy? Is it true that there's this thing called rich and sad and not that much money and happy? And polling would show that if given the choice, people would choose to be happy with less money than wealthy and sad. And my point is that in my 20s, I read a book called Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, Mastering the Inner Game of Wealth by T. Harv Eker. And it opened my eyes to this idea of that I grew up with a certain blueprint, as he calls it, for how I related to money. There's certain things I learned from my parents that weren't good or bad, but they were just what I learned. And I learned how to save from my parents, but I didn't learn how to invest. Or some of us have learned some good habits and some bad habits from our parents, And guess what? No matter what you learned from them, they were doing the best they could. But it may not be the only way for you to relate to money. And so he walked through the 17 principles of wealth, a mindset that he believed that he had learned that folks who had been wealthy or created wealth that they operated under. Mindsets, approaches to life. And one of the ones that blew my mind was this idea of, instead of it being about either or, maybe it could be about both. And so I've learned this principle in a lot of things, not just related to money. For example, I can even relate it to politics. You ask me, which party do I dislike the most? I don't have to pick either or. I can say both. And so have you, because a majority of Americans disapprove of both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. With the recent memo that came out last week talking about the investigation and Russia and collusion, the Republicans on the House Intelligence Committee released a memo alleging senior FBI officials and the DOJ abused their powers and spied on the members of the Trump campaign. Democrats, FBI, and the DOJ have said the document is misleading and just an attempt to discredit the Russian probes. Which one is it? Was the FBI and the DOJ during the time of the Obama administration up to some fugazi, funky stuff? Or was Donald Trump, Trump World, his associates, were they up to colluding and colliding and conspiring with the Russians? And they were up to some funky stuff. Which one is it? You can get with this, or you can get with that. Is it this?
But look, the memo starts out by saying that they're going to tell the reader about a systemic series of abuses at the FBI that really call into question the whole FISA court process. And what it ends up delivering is criticism of a single FISA application involving Carter Page and its renewals that cherry picks information that doesn't tell the reader the whole of the application, and is, as the DOJ and FBI have said, deeply misleading and factually inaccurate. You could cherry pick any search warrant application or FISA court application and do the same thing. If the committee, Wolf, was seriously interested in oversight here, they would have done what we usually do, which is they would have said, let's bring in the FBI, let's hear what they have to say. If they think something should have been included in the application, you ask the FBI why they didn't include it. But here, they refused to allow the FBI to come in and testify, and that tells you what their real goal was, and that was to put out this memo and use it to try to impeach the credibility of our own FBI.
You can get with this, or you can get with that. That's the Democrats. They're saying that this memo, these allegations of the FBI being up to some funny business, is all made up, all a smokescreen. So you can get with this, or you can get with that.
The document has been very carefully worked based upon thousands of pages of source documents, which as chairman of the Judiciary Committee, I've had access to those documents and have read them, as have some other key people on the Judiciary Committee staff that have top security clearance. And I think that this is important to take out the sources and methods and then have a summary of what the concerns are about one aspect of this investigation. And I think that's very important for you all to understand. This is one aspect of a much wider investigation into what's going on at the FBI.
We don't.
Or you can get with that. That was a Republican making his case. And I share both of those perspectives for a reason. Because just like I used to believe in the false premise of would I rather be happy or would I rather be wealthy? Just like I believed in the false premise of the lesser of two evils. Should I dislike the Republican Party or should I dislike the Democratic Party? And just like now having to choose between, could the FBI and the DOJ have been up to some funny business in terms of how they conducted the surveillance and the investigation of Donald Trump? Or was Donald Trump and his people up to colluding with the Russians? In all cases, it's a this or a that, an either or. And what I've learned is, shout out to the Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, is that two things, both, are possible. And so I offer to you, underdogs, the truth is, two things can be true at the same time. There could be corruption within the FBI and the Department of Justice and how they have been conducting their investigation of Donald Trump. That can be true. And it can be true that Donald Trump and or some of his associates were up to some funny business and doing some things illegal related to how they conducted their campaign and how they interacted with Russia. And so what I offer to you is the next time you're given the choice between this or that or either or, to be rich or to be happy, to like the Republicans or the Democrats, or to say that the investigation was fugazi or Trump was fugazi, just remember that sometimes two things and both can be true. I'm going to take a quick pause, and then we come back, the big finish. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show. Let's get personal about the news and the culture. We take politics, culture, and personal development. We put it in a blender and it spits out a special delivery of underdog stuff. Appreciate all the underdogs who go on the journey with us every Sunday. We're going to go back to the phone lines. Name where you call from.
Harlem. My name is Thaddeus.
Thaddeus, talk to me.
There seems to be some confusion about we people of color who were born in America. I was born in North Carolina. I do not feel any connection with the African continent. I feel more of a connection with North Carolina. So I feel that I should call myself a black American. And furthermore, since I don't know where I come from in Africa, I have to put my race before my nationality. My race is black. My nationality is American. So therefore, I feel that this term African-American does not suit any American black person born in America. That term needs to be abolished. We are very confused on who we are as a people. We need to call ourselves black Americans like we did back in the 60s and 70s when we had beautiful afros. That's my comment.
Hey, I appreciate you calling in and sharing that comment. And don't let this be the last time you call in. And that was Thaddeus sharing his point of view on what has been a controversy, one of debate. What do folks who are black and live in America call themselves? And he brings up some good points. And even I, as we've gone throughout the show, I'm sure if you've been following along, there's times when I say black Americans, African Americans. I've grown up in a system where those terms have been at times interchangeable, but I get where he's coming from. If you are an American and black, I'm with you. I get it if you want to call yourself black American. And for those who, as Thaddeus said, don't feel the connection to Africa, I get it. But there are many Americans who do. And for those who feel like African American works for them, I get it. But definitely part of a larger and longer conversation. But as always, The phone lines are open, and this is a place for folks to share their points of view and the things that help them rediscover how special they are, because we all do it in different ways, but all wanting to get to that point. Thank you, Thaddeus, for calling in, and shout out to all the other listeners from Harlem World. You know, one of the things I love about you and this show is that the phone lines and the online comments are always wide open. It's a show for underdogs, a show for my people. It's even a show for the occasional Trump supporter that accidentally finds the show too. Because I believe in holding a space where folks get to be heard. And so I love today the range from our first caller showing some love to those who do the work behind the scenes, not just the folks we see in front of the cameras or in front of the podiums or in front of the movements. Wanted us to shout out all the folks who work in the background for making history here in America. So not just shout out Dr. Martin Luther King, but shout out those that were around him and supporting him. And Deborah also reminded us that there's folks still living like Dr. Mae Jameson and Dr. Patricia Babb, black doctors, female doctors, women doctors that I'm sure have been mirrors to others who said, oh, they look like me. I can be a doctor too. And then we have our last caller, Thaddeus, who brings up the debate. What do we call ourselves? What do I call myself? What do you call yourself? We've been given names before, like Negro, like color. We've taken names like black, African-American, and then there's debates. Which one is it? Should it be something else? And this is a space where folks get to talk about it and share. Because in the end, I'm all about underdogs getting to rediscover how special we are in the world, and we are special. And so at the start of February, there's no way we wouldn't do a show where we would take some time to acknowledge and celebrate black Americans and African Americans that have made history in this country. I believe we might have a call on the line. I'm going to have to keep it quick, though, because we're coming up on the end of the show in a hard break. Name and where you're calling from.
Good afternoon. This is Barry.
Hey, Barry.
You know, it seems like to me it's like we seem to want to, you know, we get to pigeonhole ourselves and calling ourselves something when somebody who doesn't know us wants to describe us. But why should we really have to call ourselves anything unless we, you know, we're trying to give our child, our own children, you know, some connection with some self-identity, you know. So why would somebody really want to alienate themselves from one diaspora of the planet, you know, when really you're really your inheritance of this planet is an indigenous to the whole planet, you know? And so, you know, a lot of this stuff, unless you're filling out an application, you know, for somebody else's job, you know, somebody else's reason to acknowledge you, you know, somebody else's, you know, unless you doing something for somebody else, you know, why should you have to call yourself anything? Personally, I'm a person.
Hey, I get that. Yeah, unfortunately, I have to, like, we're coming up on a hard break. It's the top of the
hour. All right,
I have
pardon
to close
me, man,
show.
For running off. But that's I'll cable on.
Hey, I appreciate you. And as always, you know the phone lines are open. They'll be back open next week.
As usual, on the rebound.
All right, now, man, you have a good week. And that was Barry calling in. And guess what? It's time. I got to end the show. I wished I had more time. I didn't want to have to cut Barry off. Thank you for calling in. And for all the folks, Thaddeus, first caller, Deborah from Manhattan. Appreciate all of you and then all the underdogs that follow along on the airwaves and online. With that, the big close. Just one closing thought. Don't hate holidays. Embrace them as opportunities to celebrate your loved ones or people in your life, to fellowship, be together with folks. And we get to do that, I know, throughout the year, but why not embrace the fact that we have a month to celebrate those black Americans and African Americans? With that, Big thank you to all of you underdogs out there for listening to the show, to all the callers and folks chiming in on Facebook Live, to my producer Megan and my editor Kayla. And also, there's an audio podcast available on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Thank you for making us a top 100 podcast in society and culture on Podomatic. Also, there's video available on TJM TV and on YouTube. Search The Gregory Neesmith Show. And as always, I leave you with my favorite quote. Underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace. Say it louder.